Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR. Welcome back, everyone, to episode 36 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rod Giltaka. Thanks for joining me again today on the podcast. Unfortunately, I was hoping to get back to bringing on different guests on the show, but things have been so busy for the CCFR, and we're pumping out so much material, and I can't keep up with it. So anyway, I've got Tracy Wilson. Her and I are going to have a discussion, kind of an update, give you an update about all the different things going on, the fight at the Senate, the live tweets that Tracy's sending out, my appearance on the agenda, basically a 5-1 appearance, not particularly comfortable, but I'm not going to let people step on gun owners, I assure you that. So I powered through that. So you may have seen that, and the ongoing fight with the doctors. We released a mini documentary about our interaction to let people know what the truth of that interaction is, with proof in the actual video. We've got a new explainer video coming out, the first of a series of probably 20 new videos this year. You can check out the new format. It might even be out by the time you're listening to this. So anyway, a lot to talk about. We'll be right back with Tracy Wilson, and we'll see you then.
Once you lose rights, it's nearly impossible to get them back. Right now, there are politicians and bureaucrats working day and night to eliminate your ability to own and use firearms in Canada. They're talking about not allowing you to keep your firearms at home and even taking away the ones you already have. It's not a joke. It's not an exaggeration. Activism is a lot of work, and most people don't have the time. But something that you can do is support the CCFR. For $40 a year, you can be a part of the hardest working firearm organization in Canada and get $5 million worth of insurance. The CCFR lobbies government and works to improve the public image of gun owners through media and educational campaigns. Protect your own ability to own and use firearms before it's too late. Go to firearmrights.ca and click Why Join. That's firearmrights.ca.
We're back. Thanks for listening, everybody, to the podcast. We've got a lot of really important information to cover, and I've got, of course, Tracy Wilson, the vicious, long-nailed, clawed Tracy Wilson on the Skype with me. Hey, Tracy.
Hey, Rod. I'll have you know, my nails are absolutely fantastic, but yes, they are vicious.
Are they sharp?
No, not really.
So they're blunt and.
Blunt instruments. That's exactly right. Don't you forget it.
Blunt force trauma instruments.
Okay. Man.
So I've got a little list of things that I want to cover. Some of this stuff is really, really important. So I'm going to try to get through kind of just the update stuff as fast as we can.
Okay.
First thing, why don't we just do the Senate update real quick, and then we can get into the real meat and potatoes of this segment. So.
Okay. So yesterday I attended Senate committee. It was another long day of testimony. I have to tell you, it opened up with Dr. Alan Drummond. So he's, you know, Dr. Potty Mouth on Twitter, telling everybody to F off all the time. He wasn't completely altogether different in the Senate, actually. The most interesting thing was, you know, by the end of his testimony and his question period, which he's on a panel, there's an hour total for everybody. So it's really not that, you know, great of a length of time. He started doing this whole like head wobbling thing. It reminded me of that girl, you know, the, oh no, you didn't, like that girl, you know. He was just kind of like, boom, dropping his testimony. But it was funny. He bungled almost everything that he came out with. Examples are, he told Senator Plett that 80% of all suicides is committed by firearms, right? Which is completely false. It's less than 16%. Firearms are a distant third in preferred method. Well, I think what he was trying to say was that 80% of gun deaths in Canada are suicide, which that's true. And that, you know, any number is too many. However, that also speaks to the fact that homicide is pretty low with firearms, right? If 80% of gun deaths are suicide. He also made it super, super clear. He said it three distinct times that we aren't going to discuss crime. He even went so far as, and this is a direct quote, we know nothing about the prevention of crime. He also said most of those who commit suicide never repeat it. Well, that stands to reason. Well, unfortunately, that stands to reason.
Isn't that?
Oh, yeah. He was all over the place and, like, you know, slamming his pen down and getting really frustrated. He also, he made a comment that he said rural women. So he's a rural doctor. He works in Perth, Ontario, but just an hour outside of Ottawa here. And he said rural women are at a particular risk from shotguns and rifles. So this isn't just about handguns and ARs. He said because their partners often threaten them or their dogs with firearms. So, you know, that brings us back to the government's own data that shows us that less than 1% of all domestic calls even have a firearm present, let alone used or threatened. So unfortunately for Dr. Drummond, I have to say it was a lot of hyperbole. You know, there was some discussion about reporting, you know, that if a doctor had a patient come in a psychotic, you know, having a psychotic episode or whatever, they don't necessarily know that that patient has firearms. So if they choose to release them and send them home, they could be sending them home to their guns, which, you know, I'd like to think if someone was having a psychotic episode, the focus would be on getting them help. You know, however, there are some tools available to doctors for reporting. I've spoken to many of our pro-gun doctors about it. So, you know, it's a touchy subject. I think we've got to respect people's privacy. At the same time, we have to try and keep people safe. So, so that was the interesting part about Drummond's testimony. But I'm going to tell you, I always appoint, you know, the 3-star performance to somebody who just completely knocked it out of the park. And yesterday, Katie McGuire from the PEI Women's Shooting Association, she came in there. I've been dealing with her online for years. She's a great girl. It was so nice to meet her in person. She presented really, really well. She had her facts down packed. In fact, they actually ended their segment early because the senators just ran out of questions. They couldn't get them on anything. It was awesome. And honorable mention goes to our friends at the Ontario Federation for Anglers and Hunters. Matt DeMille, I believe his name is, and Brian McRae were there. Matt DeMille is just a sturdy, like, solid source of information and rational talk. And they poked so many holes in this bill and even sort of solidified some of their objections to the bill that were outlined in their briefings. So, yeah, it was pretty exciting. Now, going forward, there is another meeting tomorrow at the Senate, which is also the Doctor's Day of Action, which we'll talk about later. However, Minister Bill Blair will be appearing before committee tomorrow. So you can count on me to be there, and I'll be doing live tweets. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at @TWilsonOttawa. And we'll see what Blair has to say. I want to stay confident, and that it's just a coincidence that Minister Blair is appearing before the Senate on the same day that the doctors have their call to action for a ban on handguns. I don't know. What, stay tuned, because that's a big deal. And then also on the list of meetings is Monday, April 8th will be when the bill goes to clause by clause. So tomorrow is the last day of expert witness testimony. April 8th, it goes to clause by clause reading, where amendments may or may not be entertained or debated. Hopefully that process takes some time. If there are amendments, it will go back to the House. And then I'm still looking at clarifying the process from there on, but you know, at this point, we need to look at amendments. So, yeah. So we'll see what happens with the bill, but it is making its way through the journey of doom. So here it comes. Yeah.
So possibly, and I don't understand that process either. But it's my understanding that if it goes back to the House and then it's got to come back to the Senate or whatever, it's that they may run out of time. So let's
let's hope that happens. And you know what? Maybe in the next episode, we'll have a clarification about how that system works, what that process is. And we have people we can call to clarify that. So we'll do that next time around.
That's right. And we're already in April. The House rises on the 28th of June and doesn't come back until mid-September, which, of course, will be full swing election mode. You know, this is all considering or you know, assuming that the writ isn't dropped early for an early election. So, you know, there's a good solid 2.5 months that the House isn't even sitting between now and the election. So no work on this bill will happen during that time. So, we'll see how clause by clause goes.
Justin will just have to do it in his second mandate, right? Because Canadians are pretty excited and enthusiastic about that real change. Anyway, let's keep moving on.
You're such a joker. Trigger change.
Okay. So let's talk real quick about the agenda with Steve Paikin. I was on there yesterday. I still haven't watched it because by the end of all of that stuff, and the monkey business that followed it on Twitter and Facebook and stuff, I was just like, I was done with it. I didn't want to even deal with that stuff anymore by the end of the day. So I still haven't watched it now the next day.
I watched it three times.
Oh, did you?
Yes, I've watched it three times. Yeah. I PVR'd it, so I've got a copy of it. So, because I know that it doesn't, the online version and stuff only stays up for a month. So I've made sure to PVR it. Now, I got to say, it was a weird setup because I think originally the idea behind the show was just to talk about, you know, the advancement of advocacy into, I don't want to say American style, but that's exactly what it turned out to be. But they were talking about, you know, kind of new wave advocacy styles. That was the idea. And I don't think it felt that way watching it. You know, there was a little bit from the ex-lawyer lady who's now an advocate for animal rights, super honorable, whatever. Other than that, the entire focus of the show was on you and our fight with the doctors and... you know, it opened up with this beautiful one-on-one interview with Najma where she's completely unopposed and, not having to be accountable for anything she says or does. And that, you know, she's the real victim here and that we've gone after her. And then they stick you in the lion's den with four people or five people that are there specifically just to hammer on you for our advocacy style. So considering all that, I got to say, they better pack a lunch next time they think that they can come and take the CCFR to task. Because I got to tell you, you handled yourself like a real pro. And it doesn't matter how many they stack up to fight you. You know, you literally, literally walked out of that with your head held high. So, awesome.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I always feel like I'm losing, right? Because it's... You know, it's a difficult thing when it's so. I mean, in that case, on the panel, it was 4-on-1. You know, Steve wasn't overtly against us, so that's okay. And he's a good moderator, regardless. If I was going to complain about anything, I'd complain about how they stack the deck. And then, of course, you've got the moron. What was his name again? Steve Staples. I'd never heard of this guy before yesterday. And you know, he's just some little chirping attack dog that was sent in there. And then until the end of the episode, we figured out, it turns out that he was actually sent there specifically by the doctor's group from Christopher Hallcroft, who's the consultant for the doctor's group. These guys work together. So it was quite a stacked deck. I would hope that the agenda would consider doing a show where we could go 2-on-2. Maybe me and Solomon Friedman, that would be a great team and they can get their two best people and we'll hash it out. But none of these people can have a civilized debate. Like it's beyond them. They're incapable of it. So, Dr. Ahmed would not appear in a panel. She will not appear anywhere where anyone can take her to task. I know that for a fact.
Yeah.
She doesn't do it on social media. She'll never respond to, people, obviously undermining her lies, actually. And a lot of times they're just flat out lies. So it's pretty sick, and I think the only thing that paints those guys as good guys is the white lab coat. And that's it. And that was our bone of contention with them anyway. So I'd like to see another episode done that's really fair to really explore this topic, because it wasn't a whole lot about the advocacy, really. It was really about, you know, oh my God, gun owners are horrible and the gun lobby is underhanded. And let me add this. Is the, you know, that clown, Steve Staples, I keep forgetting his name. But anyway, Steve Staples, he's talking about how these campaigns achieve a new low all the time. And he's actually describing exactly what the doctors did, because we came at them with facts. And even people that aren't directly connected with the CCFR, when the doctors group showed up, they were attacking them with facts. And right away, we were racists and misogynists and white supremacists and Nazis and aliens and whatever, who knows what they start with the name calling and all the rest of that stuff. And he was actually describing their crappy campaign. But anyway, nonetheless, yeah, I appreciate all the support and I appreciate those comments. It's not a comfortable place to be, for sure.
No, absolutely not. And here's the thing. I am famous for my calls to action. So what I'm going to ask all the listeners to do is to go and engage on this. Go, you can find The Agenda with Steve Pagan on Twitter, on Facebook. He's got a bunch of posts up there right now, little video clips and things like that. Just go in there and make that request or even demand, saying that, you know, we want a fair shake and let's do a panel just to discuss the actual, you know, the actual battle, like what we're talking about here, and give us a fair shake. I think with enough pressure, I think we can convince them to do that. So that's my personal ask to everybody listening, is to go on there, reach out, contact The Agenda and ask them, you know, let's do it again and let's do it right this time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, you know, don't troll them. Yeah. Be as polite as possible, but just say, you know what, you guys really formulated a 4-on-1 in the panel, and then you add the doctor who went unopposed, you know, a 5-on-1. Let's try to do it right and just see what comes out of it. It'll be very entertaining. So that would be great if people could do that. Even write directly to the show. Send them an email too, directly. That helps as well. But anyway, speaking of advocacy, I was actually prepared to talk about advocacy, oddly enough, which really didn't.
You were there to talk about the topic and instead ended up, you know, getting ambushed and beaten up? No way.
Whatever. And so, there's a couple of things I want to address. One thing for sure, and I think I might have said this in the last podcast, was, you know, I have a capability, a capacity for self-reflection. And one of the things that I never want to do is I never want to embarrass the people that support us, because I take that support really seriously. And I really feel a moral obligation, you know, myself, that like I'm representing people, the people that are members of the CCFR and that help us on social media, I'm representing them and I don't want to embarrass them. So out of that 20 minutes of video I did towards the doctor, excluding the video that we released yesterday, you know, I said one series of sentences that was quite inflammatory, and I did that for a reason. And then I thought, you know, was that the right move? And of course, you know, I want to make sure that I'm doing this right, but you know, we're the only ones doing it. And it's the most difficult topic in the world to discuss. But if it weren't for those sentences, I wouldn't have been on the agenda. If it weren't for those sentences, we wouldn't be in the conversation at all. And, you know, that proved it yesterday, because that was the only thing that they jumped at me. And of course, what I said was completely true. So anyway, all that aside, I just, even though it's uncomfortable for me to have to answer for that, because that's not usually the way that I roll, you know, coming up with these crazy scenarios, it did definitely serve its purpose.
Well, and this is a really difficult fight. I mean, we're not advocating for Girl Guide cookies here. This is, you know, it is a really difficult, hard fight, and to get actually into it. And, you know, I mean, we could be satisfied just to send out newsletters saying, hey, this is what's going on. We've got a bunch of lobby doctors. They want to take your handguns, you know, respond to this poll. Do you agree with this or not? What is that going to do? That's going to do nothing. So unfortunately, you know, really actually getting into this fight means sticking your neck out. And sometimes it goes your way and sometimes it doesn't. And I got to say, if you don't stick your neck out and you don't try and you don't stand up for your community, what happens is they get walked on, they get kicked in the face, and they get beaten up for crimes that they had no part in committing. And you said it right yesterday that you said you just can't allow your community and our members to be treated this way by people who really don't have the topic knowledge. So it is a super tough fight. Anybody who thinks it's not, they only need to go and read the tweets and the engagement with these people to see that, it's hard because they're really signaling the virtues on these things. And it's not an easy fight to do.
Well, yeah. I said it before, like any idiot, like literally, like you could put a trained SEAL up there to stand behind a doctor and throw rocks at everybody, like the Steve Staples and the Chris Hallcrofts and even the doctors themselves. Any idiot can get on TV and get favorable coverage if they want to take guns away from law-abiding Canadians. Like that's a given. You know, go up there and try to advocate for people to be able to have AR-15s and handguns, right?
Right.
Challenge in life. If you're like, I need a challenge, try, give that a try, right? But nonetheless, I was actually taking in this direction for a reason, which was I was prepared to talk about advocacy. And I thought, okay, well, they're going to say, well, Rod, you know, what does the CCFR do that, you know, this cutting edge? And so I thought, I'd make a little list. And then I realized why I'm so stinking busy, because people, you know, message me and they're like, this guy never messaged me back. Like, we make our own videos. We generate our own media, basically. We have a YouTube channel. We have fully animated explainer videos, the first ever on the topic in Canadian history. We are coming out with our first new explainer video, totally different format, is coming out today. Probably, it might even be out by the time you're hearing this. We write and distribute our own news articles. We don't just, copy and paste from mainstream media and send those around. We actually generate our own new content. We have an official magazine. We have a television show going into season two. I have more stuff in the, on mainstream TV in the works. I don't know if it'll happen or not, but I'm working on it. We have a mostly bi-weekly podcast, one of the biggest pro-gun podcasts that there ever was. We have newsletters with all original content. We do press conferences on Parliament Hill. We have people in the Senate doing live tweeting. We have the most active lobby record in gun advocacy. So just go to Lobby Canada, type in firearms, and you'll see lobby activities were the most active there ever was. You know, we do so much stinking work. And as I was making this list, I'm like, this is why I feel like I'm going to have a nervous breakdown, because you're pumping so much stuff. Like, and the reason why we're on that show is not only because, you know, we've got the finesse to calm it down when we need to, we have the ability to be aggressive when we need to, but the anti-gun people in Canada have never seen a group as sophisticated and as hardworking every stinking day as the CCFR. And that's why we're a problem. And that's why we're getting attacked. So nobody knows this yet, but Facebook has decided they're not going to let us boost posts anymore or purchase ads. Okay. So we're for a 3.5-year-old group, we're actually being censored now by Facebook. Mm-hmm. So
it's funny. Even Wendy Sukier said in a video interview the other day, was all over national news. And she said, well, the gun lobby just works harder than we do. And I'm like, well, you're totally right there, Wendy. Like, for once, we're going to agree on something. And when the media talks about the gun lobby, make no mistake, they're talking about the CCFR. You know, everything else has been drowned out by the overwhelming, bellows of our drums. So,
there's no question in Canada who the gun lobby is. There's no question.
No question. And
we are working our asses off every single day, and we're pumping so much material through. It's ridiculous. I don't want to get into where's everybody else, but I haven't heard a peep. And, that's okay. I'm not running anybody else's organization, and I'm not setting expectations for anybody else. But I just look at the amount of work that we get done, and it's really amazing. And A little help would be nice.
Anyway. Well, I know. Sometimes I say that. I look around. I'm like, where the hell is everybody else? Like, I mean, we're only going on 4 years old. Like, where's everyone else? Some backup would be great.
Yeah. So
it is anyway. What it is.
A little bit more constructive. We have a new series of explainer videos coming out. First one, like I said, probably out before you're even hearing this. I'm going to try to get this out before noon today on Pacific time. But we are going to be doing nonstop explainer videos in this format. I'm really happy with it. I got the first one last night, late, 10 o'clock at night. I approved it. So we'll have it for release today. But we are there's going to be a steady stream of these things. And your job as a gun owner, I guess, what can you do? Let's just switch over to that. Number one, help us financially, because doing high quality media, if you looked at the little mini documentary I created for the whole doctor's thing to tell the truth about what this interaction was, that's 14 hours of work. So it's just a tremendous amount of work goes into doing this kind of stuff. But these explainer videos are expensive, but it is slick stuff. And that's attention getting. And that's what draws people in to get interested in the topic. So if you can, if there's anything that you can do to financially help us, don't wait. Pull the trigger now, because we have a lot of projects on the go, and we're going to make you proud that you're a member of the CCFR. We won't be working quietly behind the scenes, or just working, not working quietly behind the scenes. We're out there hammering every single day. So you can do that. Send letters to the Senate. Okay, so any senator that's on the committee, that's what's the committee called? It's National Defense.
National Security and Defense. So you can go on a Senate of Canada, go to committees. It's called SECD. Click on that, and it gives you the full list of everyone on the committee. So you can send one email and put them all into the two spot.
Perfect.
But yeah, let's correct some of the misinformation being spread at these committee meetings.
Absolutely. So if you want to do a little research project yourself and send them the results, go ahead and do that. That'd be great. But what's really important is to go to the Twitter feeds and go to the Facebook pages of all these different entities, throw down facts. Like I said, go after the agenda and just say, hey, you know what? We want to see a real show where a real debate occurs. You'll be the first to ever have a real, true two-on-two debate. And I'm giving Solomon Friedman a shout out. I think him for the facts and legal experience, and me for the emotional and cultural aspect of the firearms topic. I think we would be the dream team to go against any four of their advocates.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. So that's what I'd really like to see. But yeah, get out there and just be calm and tell these people they're on the wrong track and call out their lies when you see them. That's really, really important. So.
And that's the thing, especially on social media. You may not think, I'm not going to make a difference with these doctors because they refuse to engage, they refuse to respond or be held accountable. But what's happening is on social media, there's hundreds, if not thousands of people reading those comments. And sometimes maybe someone who would have auto-sided with that anti-gun sentiment, they read some of these comments and click on some of the links provided by people or the videos provided or explainers, and then they're, it's going to make them second guess their original stance. So it's not necessarily the people that you are commenting to, it's everybody else reading the comments that matters. Sorry, yeah. I just wanted to say that.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And that, it's funny because the evil anti-gun crowd, they have access to newspapers and they have access to television. That's it. They cannot hide online from us. Just take a look around and go look at the comments and the tweets and stuff like that. There's not a dark corner where any of these people that lie and mislead the public, like bald-faced, like it's in your face lying. There's no place they can hide online. And that bothers them because they just think that they should win because they're the privileged elitists. So don't let them win. And I will say one more thing because it's 25 minutes already, so I don't want to bore people. But this stuff is stressful. It's stressful on me. It's stressful on Tracy. But the number one thing is don't get burned out by getting too involved at too heavy a level for you. I mean, we all got to go to work. We all got to make a living. All that stuff. Don't let it wreck your life because you're angry that people are lying about you. just try to be as dispassionate as possible. Just make sure you just leave a little comment. Don't put the, you know, all of your effort into one comment just to have it deleted by somebody. Just go, yeah, that's not true. Here's a link. Spread those explainer videos. Spread the old explainer videos too. If the doctors group are talking about how the gun lobby is so bad, give them a link to the documentary that I just made. That's how you do it. You don't have to fight these battles by yourself. We're giving you the tools to make it easy. And as I said, just from me to you, I don't want you guys to get too passionate and be under too much stress, because it's a really tough way to make a living. I'll tell you
oh,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, just pace yourselves, but be steady and keep going. That's really important. That's more important than almost, well, no, it's just as important as what we're doing, right? We're giving you the tools and you guys got to do a little bit of the work. So together we are absolutely unstoppable, and they feel it. I assure you.
Absolutely, they do. And you're right. Even if you took 10 minutes a day aside, okay, I'm going to go on social media and engage for a solid 10 minutes, hit as many posts as you can, and then, you know, continue on with your family and go back to other stuff. If every single one of us did that, it would just be a constant stream of information flowing, right? And like I said, there's hundreds, you know, maybe thousands of people reading what you put. So yeah, it's important to be consistent, and it doesn't have to be all consuming, except for you and I. So yeah.
So and that's, the last point I'll bring up is that's why you want to support the CCFR, because one of the reasons, and it's certainly not consistent, but anyway, in the case of the CCFR, the reason why we can do all of this stuff, and about 90% of it that's never, ever been done, because it takes very specific skill sets and it takes a lot of dedication and commitment and time and motivation and work. The reason why we can do things like create the media stuff that we do is because you have people doing it full time, people paid to do it. You know, I did a lot of stuff for a year and a half, worked almost full time for the CCFR as a volunteer, but I could not keep that up. I couldn't justify it, you know, for a variety of reasons. But you really need to have people paid to do it, because then you can hold them accountable and say, hey, well, where's all the work? So we want to grow the CCFR. We want to bring on yet another employee and start pumping through, you know, media and content even faster. See, the anti-gun people have gone to war against us because they can't keep up with us. Like the doctors group, what do they have? Tweets and a National Day of Action, and then all the free media that the consultants get them. Like that's all. They don't have informational stuff. They don't have their own studies. They don't have their own content. They got nothing. And so it is actually quite, I'm not going to say easy, but it's an attainable goal to fight these people. And they're scared of us, and that's why they're piling on us. So anyway, support the CCFR if you can. Be a foot soldier out there on social media if you can take it emotionally. And you have a little bit of time and you're laying on the couch or whatever, if you have a free couple of minutes. And yeah, just keep supporting us and we'll keep working for you.
We absolutely will. Full speed ahead.
In case you didn't know, the CCFR can provide a comprehensive and competitively priced insurance package for your shooting club. The proceeds from insurance sold by the CCFR directly support our operations to protect and expand your rights to own and use firearms in Canada. The CCFR wants to present our insurance package to your club as soon as possible. To get started, email us at insurance@firearmrights.ca. That's insurance@firearmrights.ca.
All right, that's going to do it for episode 36 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Thanks to Tracy Wilson for coming on, and thanks to Tracy for all her work, the live tweets and just being so relentless in everything she does. You know, she's the bad cop, I'm trying to be the good cop. So together we actually make a pretty decent team. Thank you to everybody that's supporting the CCFR. We cannot do it without you. You know, I know I say that all the time, but it's like, yeah, we have a good group. We have a lot of talent in our team, but the most talent ever. That's why you see the level of output and the level of work that we're capable of and the sophistication of the work. That's why right now in Canada, when someone says, is there a gun lobby in Canada? They're like, yeah, it's called the CCFR. There's no doubt. There's no debate any longer. That's just what it is. So we've got so much stuff coming out. The new explainer video. We're probably going to do 20 of these videos this year. We've got television shows. We've got the mostly biweekly podcast. We have newsletters with original content. We've got an official magazine. We do press conferences on Parliament Hill. We're at every single Senate hearing. We're the most active consumer group lobby group for firearm owners that Canada's ever seen. Go to Lobby Canada website, type in lobby activities, type in firearms and have a look. You know, we can only do this if we have your support. Okay, so if you're currently supporting us, that's great. We will take all the help we can get. If you're not currently supporting us, I don't know what you're waiting for. You want a big, strong gun lobby that says you will not tread on gun owners, or there will be ramifications, there'll be consequences, we'll come after you. You have it right now. So it's either that, or you can go quietly into the night and allow these people to do whatever it is that they want to do to you. Okay, so if you can possibly support us, we'd really appreciate it. Can't do it without you. And don't forget, a really important piece of this advocacy is you standing up for your own rights by being a social media warrior, getting out there, spreading facts, being calm, being polite, being that calm, articulate voice in the room. I know it's hard. I fail at that sometimes because doing what I got to do is incredibly stressful, man. I'm on a television show advocating for people to own AR-15s and handguns and going 5 against 1. It's not comfortable, but somebody's got to do it. And yeah, we're just not going to let them win. So anyway, thanks for all your support. You can also support us on Patreon by becoming one of the CCFR insiders. Go ahead and do that. Thanks again for all your support, all your listening, and we will see you all next time.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.